Chapter 3. They sat on the roof with more space between them than usual. Andrew's brain wanted him to do something stupid, something really self-destructive, and he had to control himself. But of course, the idiot wouldn't make it easy on Andrew's self-control. No, he just had to continue being as oblivious as always about this. Neil hadn't even brought up what everyone figures out about soulmates, that they're supposed to be in a relationship, have kids with superior genes or something, be the perfect match in bed, that they must be together. All bullshit everyone but Neil seemed to care about, because he was an idiot and a pipe dream. So Andrew didn't think about how Neil's lack of interest in any of that was a sign that maybe the universe was up to something there. They were a pretty great match. No one else would let Andrew be like Neil did. There was also the fact that Neil bought him a Maserati. Perfect match. Maybe. He thought about it for barely a second, and then held out the extra key between them. It seemed to take Neil a second to realize he had moved, and then a few more to notice what Andrew was doing. He was taking way too long to take it, so Andrew let it drop on the space between them. Idiot. You gonna react like that every time I give you something? It's a key. Neil looked from it to Andrew. To your car. Observant. He says blankly. It is just a key. Neil scoffed and turned to face Andrew. You are a foster child. You know it isn't. He watched the idiot reach between them slowly, towards the key, and toy around with it, tracing it but not taking it. He felt just how hard Neil was pushing on it, letting the object leave its impression on his fingers and his palm. Like Andrew knew he had done with the key to the house in Columbia, because he had also felt it. You gave me a key and called it home. Neil sighed and looked at Andrew. Looked with eyes too big and too blue. No. Fuck that. No. Don't look at me like that. I am not your answer, and you sure as fuck aren't mine. Being soulmates doesn't mean shit. Neil looked away, but even in the dim lights, Andrew could see the eye roll. I'm not looking for answers. He groaned and waved his arms around like an idiot, as if doing that would somehow wind the right words into his brain or something. I'm tired of being nothing. You are a fox. You'll always be nothing. He scoffed and took one last drag of his forgotten cigarette before stubbing it out on the ground. I hate you. Every time you say that, I believe you less and less. No one asked you. And then he made the mistake of looking at Neil. His eyes got caught in icy blue, the stupid tattoo, the stupid auburn hair, those stupid lips. So he put both hands on Neil's face and kissed him. He let everything he ever thought into that kiss. Every night he had been angry at Neil because of the pain. Every time he pushed away thoughts of him since they first met. Every time he thought about Neil while he was in East Haven, every time he had let himself crave something other than the pills, crave Neil Jostin. Neil wanted to stop being nothing, so Andrew was giving him everything he had. It only angered him that the idiot avoided touching him, that he kept both hands to himself, and when he did reach for Andrew, he only grabbed at his sleeves, that he was that observant. What was he thinking? What the fuck was he doing? Tell me no. He somehow managed to keep his voice steady as he said it, after leaning back just enough. When the junkie didn't, he pulled back. Neil wasn't letting go of his sleeve. Let go. We're not doing this right now. Infuriatingly, he did. Lying on the carpet with Andrew on top of him, ice cream forgotten in favor of tongues, Neil couldn't help but think just how right this felt. He didn't care that Andrew was a man, and didn't think that they were only doing this because they were soulmates. This was them, was a mutual yes. They both wanted this. There was give and take, back and forth, permission and respect, and Neil felt like he could lose himself in this, in the taste of chocolate and cigarettes, the weight of Andrew's body on top of him, the firm grip around his wrists. He'd allow himself this for as long as he could. He'd be selfish like that, and take these last few days, the days until the countdown reaches zero, to give Andrew everything he was, everything he would ever be, and hope he'd keep his memory safe forever, long after Neil was gone. It had to be some kind of big cosmic joke that the first person to ever touch him gently, to ever ask him yes or no, was a man everyone saw as a heartless, violent monster. Andrew Minyard wasn't heartless. He wasn't a monster. He had just been dealt a shitty hand that forced him to become something stronger, something harder, harsher. Andrew deserved the world, and Neil would give it to him. He'd give everything he could to his soulmate while he lived. That was a promise. Andrew stepped back as if he had been shocked. He had Neil up against the wall, hands tightly fisted in his hair as they kissed. But then he had pulled a little too tight, tight enough that he felt it. Fuck. He was hurting Neil. Neil trusted him, and this is what he gave him in return. Pain. How is he any different from the men who'd taken and taken and hurt them before? Fuck. He'd hurt Neil. He felt it. There was no denying it. He was a monster. He really was. Andrew? Neil called, with that tone that people used when it wasn't the first time his name had been called. When he didn't answer, Neil went on. Did I do something? Andrew shook his head, but when he tried to open his mouth to talk, it wouldn't budge. Fuck. It's still a yes. It was still a yes. Leave it to Neil fucking Jostin to be perceptive at a time like this. It hurt, he managed to choke out, voice rough. Communication. Important. Not in a bad way. If it's ever a no, I'll tell you. He pushed himself off the wall and smiled. Ice cream? And then Neil drove them out to get ice cream in silence. Because he was that good. Because he was that respectful. Because he didn't push. Andrew hated him so much. If Neil had been in pain, he would have given himself away. If anything had happened differently, the foxes would be dead, and so would Andrew. So he'd focused on their body, the feelings they shared. Andrew's muscles begging for relaxation beyond the warm water from the shower, the kink in their neck that seemed to be present so often that neither of them was sure who it was coming from. It mixed with his own exhaustion in a weirdly comforting and familiar way. In that way that made up their body. The imaginary one they shared and had an unspoken agreement to take care of. One Neil was about to break. He glanced around the room, but Andrew had been the only one to notice Neil's tension, in that weird way they sometimes seemed to mimic the other's emotions when they were strong enough. He wondered if it was a soulmate thing or just empathy, that thing they both seemed to lack most of the time. He'd never have time to figure it out. He had to say something. Couldn't leave Andrew with whatever last words he had said to him. Andrew would always remember them, even if Neil couldn't remember them now himself. He deserved more. But what do you say to the man you've been connected to for your entire life? How do you say your final goodbye to your soulmate, knowing that your death won't be quick, that they will feel the whole thing? An apology wouldn't cut it. Neither would anything that gave them away, because the last thing he needed was Andrew getting kidnapped too, just so his father could torture Neil twice. Torture. Leaving Andrew behind felt like it. Leaving the kisses behind, in the bus, felt like torture. Thank you, he finally said, because what else could he say? Thank you for the kisses, the keys, the consent, the pain that didn't hurt. Thank you for the silence and the drives at night. Thank you for making me be someone. Thank you for remembering me. Thank you for making me real. Don't forget me. This was amazing. You were amazing. Andrew felt something. He didn't like the feeling, so he shoved it down until it became good old and familiar anger. He'd found Neil's bag and racket near the exit, far away from where they had been during the riot, and no idiot in sight. Something was wrong. Neil would never leave this behind. Something was wrong. 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 Minyard, get your ass in the bus, Wymack yelled. Andrew didn't feel like replying right then. He needed to find Neil. What if he was dead? What if he got hurt? What if... Andrew! Wymack was suddenly in front of him, trying to take Neil's things from his hands. Andrew wouldn't let go. No. No one should touch Neil's things when he wasn't around. Neil didn't like that. His idiot appreciated privacy. Andrew was the only one allowed to touch Neil's things. Andrew, he's fine. Wimax sighed, as he gave up on trying to take anything off Andrew's hand. Coach understood it in a way. Andrew knew the man knew he wasn't well right now and needed an anchor. Neil was his, and in his absence, the stupid racket and bag had to do. You have that ridiculously strong bond. Tell me, is he hurt? Can you feel it? Was he? Was Neil hurt? He frowned, not feeling anything on their body. He felt stuff on his body. Knuckles were a bit achy, and he probably had a bruise on his face, but nothing that felt like it was coming from Neil. Nothing. It didn't really help calm his nerves. He usually got something from Neil almost constantly. Andrew looked up at Wimac and shook his head, face neutral, though he guessed his eyes gave away just how out of it he was. He checked their body again. Oh, there it was. Neil's muscles were aching from the game. Andrew hadn't noticed because of how used to it he was. Good. The idiot was alive, at least. He either ran to safety or is in an ambulance somewhere. We'll find him. Now get your ass in the bus. Andrew followed him without protest. He knew Neil wasn't okay. He wouldn't drop his bag on the run. The rabbit never left his bag behind. And going through Neil's stuff made him even more certain Neil hadn't run when he saw all of the idiot's things were still there, even Neil's phone and keys. Even if he had decided to rabbit last minute, Neil would have at least taken his keys so he could get into Fox Tower for his precious binder, since his lockpicks were in the dorm. Maybe even his phone. It had Andrew's number in it. Neil would take it with him so they could... Neil wouldn't leave. Neil Jostin would never be able to rabbit out of Andrew's life, so it made no sense that he'd ever even try or even leave the phone behind. Andrew would carve the words on their body if he had to, but he'd get in touch with Neil somehow. No. No. Neil had been taken. He's probably in an ambulance somewhere. No. 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 Shut up. Neil had been taken. Someone took Neil. Someone needed to die for taking him. Shut up. He forced the words out. Words that almost felt like they were ripping pieces off him. This wasn't the time to be nonverbal. He wouldn't allow himself to be. Neil wasn't here to let him shut down. He had threats to make and an idiot runaway to find, and people always did what he wanted when he threatened them with death. Someone took him. He gave Wimac his most intense glare, trying to make him understand at once. Is this a plural thing? Wimac asked in code. The coach, the nurse, Renee, Aaron, Kevin, and Nikki were the only ones that knew they, Neil and Andrew, were soulmates, and while he normally would appreciate the use of code words, something told him they were running out of time. He didn't have time to appreciate that bit of privacy. He had a feeling Neil's phone held clues, and as always, he was correct. A text message that said zero. A countdown. A call he had gotten around the time Neil had been alone. Right before he had said, "Thank you. You were amazing." No. No. That sounded too much like last words. He knew Neil had been tense, practically felt it. He should have done something then. He should have... Why was Kevin watching over Andrew's shoulder this whole time? Bastard knew something, didn't he? He glanced down at the screen again and caught sight of where, on his wrists, peeking from under his armbands, were forming thin bruises. He could feel the slight ache now. Familiar, even. They were handcuffed. No. Neil was handcuffed. They were in pain because the cuffs were too tight. They were bruising. Neil would soon be bleeding. Was the fact Andrew knew Neil had been taken an us thing? Or was it just an Andrew thing? He didn't know, couldn't really tell if it was even possible. So he finally answered Wimac with a shrug and got up, calmly making his way to Kevin. Oh, Kevin the Cowardly Striker had a guilty look on his face, didn't he? Which meant he had answers. Where is he? Kevin's eyes snapped up to Andrew's in fear. Good. I don't know. Don't make me say it again, Andrew warned, his voice calm, face still. He thought about reaching for his knives, but Kevin probably didn't deserve that much effort. His hands would do. In the blink of an eye, he had the much taller man pressed against the window, Andrew's quickly bruising hands wrapped tightly around his neck. Oh no. Those bruises on him were cuts on Neil. Andrew could feel it, feel the burn and the skin splitting. Who the fuck was cutting Neil's hands now? It wasn't deep, but it burned. It was too deliberate. It was meant to hurt. To stop him from fighting. Told you not to make me repeat myself. Where is he? So pretty the bruises already forming on Kevin's neck. How dark would they get? He was excited about the prospect. All that blood coming to the surface. Did Kevin's soulmate feel it too? Was he or she confused about what was going on? Were they in pain like they were? And then there were hands grabbing at Andrew, but he didn't let go. He needed answers. He needed answers. Then, Matt, Wymack, and Nikki were holding him as he struggled with Kevin. The Cowardly Striker was making clear why he deserved the nickname, hiding behind Renee. Kevin gasped and gasped and gasped. Breathless. Hoarse. Good. He deserved it for keeping secrets from Andrew. He should know better. It's the number. The area code. Kevin winced and gasped some more. Pathetic. Neil's father's. The Butcher of Baltimore. Neil's father's dead. Kevin shook his head. His father is very much alive. Andrew stopped struggling and instantly felt the hands retreating, at the same time as a tiny cut was made on the Neil's face. He didn't mind the look of horror on Kevin's face as he saw the line appear as what was probably a weirdly colored bruise on Andrew's face. He didn't have time to. Before Andrew could plan his movements to get past the Christian and kill the coward, he found himself on the floor clutching at his face as a pained and almost animalistic scream tore its way out of his throat. What the fuck? For a second, Andrew wasn't in the bus anymore. He couldn't breathe. No, that pain was similar to something they had felt before. He couldn't breathe. His mind raced, trying to find the right memory to help him deal with the agony. They couldn't breathe. It wasn't a knife. He was familiar with those. It wasn't a bullet wound, because he figured if it had been, their pain would have stopped. Then he was sitting in class. That day, the pull, their lungs hurt, because there was a bit of air coming in now. Andrew wasn't screaming out all of his air now. He was writhing on the floor and screaming it in. Someone was burning Neil's face. Then there was a sharper pain right where the main pain came from. Nails on the fresh burn, or maybe a bite. Then another cut down his face, and Andrew got snapped back to the present so fast he actually felt his neck hurt from whiplash. Cuts were expected. Cuts didn't catch him off guard. Cuts were almost grounding right now. He wondered if their neck would hurt from the whiplash tomorrow. No, but from being choked, probably yes, his mind supplied. If Neil lived to be a them tomorrow. They're burning his face. He managed to get out through jagged breaths. If it sounded like a sob, Andrew didn't care. They were being tortured. Everything hurt. His hair hurt. Gasps, gasps, and more gasps. Oh yeah, the rest of the foxes had no idea. Sounded around the room. No, not room. Bus. Gasps of horror and pity, and even sobs came out of those on the bus. Andrew opened his eyes, not having realized they had even been closed, and saw Abby and Nikki crying. Like they were the ones in pain. So ridiculous. They had no idea. Oh. Oh. Here comes another one. Try not to scream like that again. And this time, Andrew couldn't move. It was like someone was holding him still by his neck as the pain came again. He knew they burned his tattoo off with this one. Burned the fucking tattoo off. Fuck, that's sick. If he could, he'd be sick. Wait, was he gonna be sick? Did he still have a stomach? He couldn't tell. There was so much... Fuck, how could Neil stand this? Was Neil still awake? When their pain stopped, well, when the burn device was removed from Neil's skin, he bolted to his seat. He ignored the way the movement felt like being ripped apart, made the phantom cuts and burns sting. Huh, maybe this is how Neil could stand this. Ignored everything as he dug around in his bag for something to bite on so he wouldn't hurt them even more. He found one of Neil's stray bandanas and laid down on his seat. Get him back, he breathed out. Alive, get him back, he gasped. More pain. Back and alive. He hated the bond for not allowing him to do anything right now. How useless this thing was. Not allowing the one person who wants to do something to do something. He used all of the strength from the pain to sit up and shoot the idiot foxes his most murderous look. Maybe pain gave people more strength than he realized. Get him back unless you want your name under the headline Palmetto Exe Massacre, because I will kill you. They flinched. What a picture he must make, black and blue and murderous. He'd use all the pain he felt as fuel to kill them if necessary, and they knew it. Good. Murder threats always got him what he wanted. He laid back down, shoved the bandana in his mouth, and endured the pain like he knew Neil also was, trying to be quiet, trying to keep it down. For the first time, nope, not the first his mind supplied, in his life, Andrew didn't wish for the pain to end, because if it did, he knew they'd be dead. He was so distracted by the pain, the wet and gross taste of the saliva-soaked bandana in his mouth, that his mind never really registered that some of the pain felt different on his skin, that the focus of the torture had shifted, and that there were new scars forming under his armbands and on his knuckles. The only thing Neil, no, Abram, could think of between counting stops was Andrew. Andrew distracted his mind from how Lola's proximity made his skin crawl. Andrew, who felt every painful cut and bite and scratch and burn. Andrew, who always asked yes or no. It's not my pain. It's not your pain. It's our pain. Our bruises. Your cuts, your scars, my scars. But those are the only things we don't share. You make it sound like we have three bodies. You, me, and us. Neil had laughed. Might as well. Andrew had shrugged then and took a long drag from his cigarette. I hate it, but it is the truth. No offense, but I hope it worked. I hope it's not ever going to be our scars. Andrew had just nodded. Yes or no? Andrew asked one night on the roof. Neil said yes and found himself on his back, Andrew between his legs as they kissed, rough and long. When Andrew moved down to Neil's neck, working on a mark there that would show up on both of them, he stopped. It hurts, Andrew said. Not in a bad way, Neil was quick to add, before Andrew could get any ideas in his head. It might be a little inconvenient in the future, but I'm sure we can deal. As soon as they had started their careful sexual exploration, penetrative sex had crossed Neil's mind. He had decided he wouldn't mind trying it, but would never ask that of Andrew. However they decided to do it, if it ever got to that point, would be something that they'd both feel because of the bond. The bond that felt like too much of a violation sometimes. Shut up. Andrew rolled his eyes. If I find out you get off on pain, I'll stab you. Neil had laughed, because this wasn't the first time, and Andrew shut him up with more kisses. Hands stayed above the waist and over clothes, much like always, but Neil didn't mind at all. He wished, damn near prayed, Andrew wouldn't look like he had just been through a wood chipper on fire, like he probably looked. He hoped none of it would be permanent. He hoped they wouldn't be scarred for life like this. He could be. They couldn't. Not if soon enough they wouldn't be two, but one, be only Andrew. Abram couldn't die knowing he left Andrew behind with marks from the abuse they had suffered. Not on his skin. Whenever Lola moved, he blocked out her presence and the pain by thinking of something else. Thinking of how good it would feel when he helped Andrew kill Luther. How he'd torture Lola for everything she'd done to him if he got the chance. He thought about Andrew's breath on his neck. Thought about Andrew shutting down the goal. Thought about how amazing he had been just hours before. The best damn goalkeeper in the world. Andrew was perfect in every way. And Abram had to let him go because he needed Nathaniel back. Abby, bleeding heart that she is, tried to tend to Andrew's wounds, even though they weren't really there. Sure, the new scar tissue felt odd. His face was probably a purple mess at this point, and his hands and forearms looked like literal hell, but none of it could be helped. It hurt because it throbbed and burned, because it felt like fresh cuts and burns should, not because it was an actual open wound. It hurt because Neil hurt, and therefore he did. She tried to give him painkillers, but those wouldn't do much for Neil, so he didn't take them. So, Abby felt useless. So in the end, after she insisted way too much and he had run out of words, he let her wrap his hands so Kevin would stop staring at them like the world had ended, Nikki would stop crying, and she would stop giving him those pitying looks. He knew what they were thinking. That he was a monster. That Neil was too good to be his soulmate. That how come they never noticed? How long have they known? Why is Andrew such a masochist? He should just take the goddamn pills. But he was of a single mind right now not to really care. Neil could handle his teammates when he got back. If he was wearing Neil's ridiculously orange team hoodie with Jostin 10 in the back and the ridiculously big hood pulled over his head almost down to his nose as a shield, and because it smelled like Neil, while drinking hot cocoa and running on 2 hours of sleep, it was no one's business. Not even Nikki attempted a conversation. But of course it wouldn't be easy. Of course people had to make everything harder on themselves. Of course people had to get on Andrew's nerves when he was trying so hard not to kill anyone. Nathaniel Osninski is being discharged from the hospital and will be put into witness protection. You should get in your bus and return to South Carolina. You won't be seeing him again. Before he even realized, Andrew was in front of the agent, fists tight as he tried to stop himself from killing a federal agent before he could see Neil. After he saw Neil, it was fair game, he reasoned. We're not going anywhere, and neither is he. He would be surprised at hearing Nikki's voice, if he could. So go get him, asshole, before that thing there kills you. Andrew assumed he was that thing there. Minyard, Coach intervened, the sound of a toilet flushing in the background, explaining why he had even been allowed that close to the Fed. He stood by Andrew's side, but didn't touch him as he made up some excuse to the federal agent. It was all bullshit. Nikki had meant it. Andrew would kill him. Andrew had enough when the man kept insisting on calling Neil Nathaniel, kept insisting he would never see them again. He carefully slipped a knife out from his right armband and held it in his left inside of the pocket of Neil's hoodie, then reared his right fist back to throw the first punch, but Wymack was faster. Minyard, he said, with a warning in his voice, looking too tired to even care. Control your team, especially this one. He shot Andrew a look. Threatening a federal agent is a serious crime, young man. He remembered Neil, how he could always shock people into silence. So, going against his instincts of just fucking stab him, he let go of the knife in the kangaroo pouch and used his left hand to pull the orange hood back. He drank in the way the man flinched, eyes shining with recognition, maybe disgust, and definitely some pity and empathy. He'd seen Neil. I will. He ignored how hoarse and neutral his voice sounded, then tugged his arm free from Wymack's grasp and began undoing the bandages on his hands, slowly and methodically, before pointing at his own face, making sure the idiot in the suit could see every mark, every bruise possible. Kill you. This isn't a threat. It's a promise. He leaned in closer, not giving a shit that he had to get on his tiptoes and barely reached the man's shoulder. So only he could hear, and whispered, I'm Nathaniel Wisninski's soulmate. Don't underestimate me. Using that name made his stomach flip with wrong. The agent actually took a step back and eyed Andrew warily before hardening his eyes and staring deep into Andrew's. I guess it's not a soul thing after all, if even the soulless have a bond. Andrew was the winner of their little staring contest. He ended up handcuffed to Wymack, but at least he got what he wanted. See? Murder threats. Works like a charm. What did you tell him? Wymack asked, as he awkwardly kept his back turned and eyes closed so Andrew could take a piss with some degree of privacy. The truth. He shrugged the shoulder of their attached hands, reminded him who he's dealing with. Wymack scoffed. Like you have that kind of power. I don't, he admitted. But Neil's birth name does right now. You're welcome. Nathaniel looked around the room, at the foxes, at Neil's teammates, and counted them. But oh, no. Andrew wasn't there. Andrew wasn't there. Why the fuck wasn't he there? Had he gotten hurt in the riot? Neil had felt the knuckles bruised, had felt the pain from what was probably a knee or elbow to Andrew's face, but nothing that felt permanent, nothing that would require a hospital. Did he miss something? Had he been so distracted he didn't check their body for Andrew's injuries? Had his father's men gotten to him? Or maybe the torture had been too much. Andrew had been on some kind of medication during his time at East Haven. He had something to dull the torture Neil had been through, and perhaps this time, feeling all of it. He couldn't keep it separate anymore. Who he was and had been. Right now, everyone Nathaniel had ever been was yelling for the same person. The person he didn't want anyone but Neil to have. He wouldn't allow Nathaniel any more time thinking of Andrew. He would twist him too much, freeze Andrew out. He couldn't let Neil come back. Not yet. He was too soft, too loved. Alex wasn't good either. Stefan, Chris, Abram. Abram needed to see Andrew. Abram could. Neil would allow that. Abram needed to see his soulmate. Now. And then, as if reading his mind, the man he had been wanting to see burst through the door, demanding attention and respect as always, pushing past two armed FBI agents like they weren't even there. Handcuffed to Wymack, but alive. Looking like a mirror image of Abram in black and blue. And Fox Orange? Instead of red and pink, but alive. Before they could say anything to each other, Abram saw the FBI agent drawing his gun, and Nathaniel swung into action, even though it hurt his cut-up hands, his whole body. Too much, even with the painkillers. At least he managed to stop the man from escalating the situation. Andrew would have reacted badly to a gun to his face, and then there would have been blood. And Nathaniel wasn't in the mood for that right now. The movement had hurt like a motherfucker, too fast and abrupt for his two recent injuries. He thought Andrew was good at hiding his pain, as he ended up cradling his own ruined hands to his stomach, trying, uselessly, to stop the agony from shooting up his ruined arms. Then Andrew was there, pushing Abram down to his knees so he wouldn't keel over from the pain. So they wouldn't keel over from the pain. Because they were both feeling it. If Abram was in agony, so was the man in front of him. I'm sorry, was all he managed to get out. Then his soulmate's bruised hands were on his chin, forcing him to look up. Andrew probably looked like a mixture of insane and composed right there, all intense hazel eyes and bored expression, clusters of bruises on his face that mirrored Neil's covered burns and cuts. Except for the one bruise dangerously close to his eye that he had gotten during the riot, the only injury they had right now that hadn't come from Abram's end. He began slowly peeling off bandages to look at the originals, the real wounds behind the damage on their face. Neil could see right through it. He was probably the only one who could. Those hazel eyes were dull and strained, painted in purple that screamed tired and not just bruised. The slight movement to his jaw let Abram know Andrew was gritting his teeth. Because he had been in pain too, this whole time. He probably felt raw and small, just like Neil did. Probably felt empty and desperate like Abram does. Angry and resigned like Nathaniel. And oh, the Fox Orange. He was wearing one of Neil's hoodies, one Abram recognized as having been in the duffel bag Neil dropped. Before it would have been too intimate a gesture for their unspoken nothing, but was now something that probably brought Abram too much comfort at the sight, And so it probably did the same for Andrew. Andrew, I hurt you. I'm sorry. He watched out of the corner of his eyes as Andrew's fist, the one cuffed to Wymack, swung back, ready for a punch. He watched Andrew's bruise-covered hand shake and waited, bracing himself for the hit that never came. Just then, he noticed the familiar look of scar tissue on the knuckles, faint and covered by a mismatch of bruises. Scars Abram would have himself soon enough. "Say that again and I'll kill us," Andrew gritted out. Abram almost felt bad for making him talk. One of the FBI idiots protested, no, threatened Abram's soulmate. That couldn't stand. Who did he think he was to tell Andrew what he could and couldn't say? What fucking attitude? If the idiot in the cheap suit felt even a quarter of what they felt, he would have an attitude, too. He spat a challenge and was met by another empty threat. Abram would have to let Nathaniel handle this one. He was the best with words, after Neil. "Don't lie to a liar," Nathaniel said, eyes fixed on the weird patch of black and blue and purple and yellow and green skin on Andrew's face, mirroring the burn where the four had been on Neil's face. "We both know that I'm here because you have nothing without me. A pile of dead bodies can't close cases, can't play the money trail with you. I told you what the answers would cost you, and you agreed to pay for them. So take this stupid handcuff off of my soulmate, get your man out of our way, and stop using up our 20 minutes. They did what he told them to. Andrew's now free hand was left on his lap, and Abram could see their bruises on his wrist as well, peeking just under the armbands. "I think we have our first scar." He switched to German, with one of his bandaged hands floating inches from Andrew's emotionless face, not touching him. Andrew nodded. Not a yes to the touch, but a yes to his words. Neil nodded. Then Abram did. Neil couldn't be here right now. "What made them?" Andrew managed to ask. Abram wondered if the odd pain in his stomach and chest was real, or if it hurt that much for Andrew to speak right now. "Dashboard lighter." Nikki reacted from somewhere behind them, and Abram instinctively turned, leaving the mess of his face for all to see, which only got him more shocked reactions. Like they hadn't seen them on Andrew already. Like they hadn't been with Andrew while he got the twin marks. Well, not twin per se. Then Abby started moving around the bed, towards them, but it took Andrew mere seconds to realize her intentions. "Get away from us." "Andrew, he's hurt," she choked out, while still attempting to make that talking to a scared animal voice. Nathaniel wanted to scoff at it. Like Andrew wasn't in just as much pain. Like the physical manifestation of their pain on Nathaniel's body mattered more. "If you make me repeat myself, you'll not live to regret it." Abram spoke up after that. He was not in the mood to let his soulmate feel what he was feeling. He, Neil, Abram, Nathaniel, had never heard that much murderous intent in Andrew's voice. He wasn't threatening or promising. He was simply stating a fact. That was a terrifying path to let Andrew go down. "Abby, I'm fine. I just got out of the hospital," Neil said. "I'm as good as I can be right now." He attracted Andrew's gaze back to himself and began speaking in German again. "My uncle executed my father, and the woman who did this. We're gonna be okay now. Just need to win against the Ravens." "Junkie," Andrew scoffed, and they let themselves enjoy this normality for a second. "Too bad we didn't get to kill them." "We'll get our kill soon enough." Behind them, Nikki gasped again, even though he had no idea that they were talking about how they would kill Luther. It barely crossed Abram's mind that all of the "we" and "us" probably made them sound insane. "We're alive," Abram breathed out. "We're alive. We'll be okay." "You're gonna tell me everything. The whole story. Who they were and what they did. When. Why. How. I did not appreciate you vanishing like a stupid fucking martyr and then flooding me with your martyrdom in the form of burns to our fucking face, Justin." Abram winced and nodded. "Come with me in the FBI. Obviously, I'm not letting you out of my sight. Idiots can't be left alone. They tend to get tortured. Abram smiled. People might think we've gone insane. Andrew shrugged. We do what we have to. Abram nodded his agreement. They did what they had to do to survive, even if it left a few cracks in their minds. As they stood up, it wasn't Andrew and Neil, or Andrew and Abram. It was Andrew and Nathaniel. We're ready, Nathaniel said in English. I don't remember inviting this one, the idiot who tried to tell them what to do said. Trust me, it'll be easier for everyone if you take them both, Wymack said tiredly. So much easier. The coach looked at the two standing practically in each other's space and shot them a pointed look that would have been more effective if not for all of the worry and tiredness on his features. He was probably the only fox not feeling pity towards them. Wymack knew it was inevitable, that there wasn't much anyone else could have done to prevent their pain. He accepted it, but he still felt empathy. He wasn't dead inside. David Wymack was lucky and cursed because he wasn't dead inside. Matt's mom's not bailing anyone else out. Behave. They were sitting together in Andrew's usual spot in the back of the bus. He had forced Neil to take the window, not trusting anything right now. Their pain was still so fresh and all over that even with both of them taking some painkillers, every bump on the road made their whole body light up like a Christmas tree. Andrew fought all of the dirty thoughts in his mind about how weak he had been with all of the screaming and loss of time while Neil bled out in some car. He tried not to think about the hell the press would make of their lives for a while. They'd have a field day. Stupid stickball-loving people. Stupid stickball. Stupid stickball junkie. The press had already gotten wind of what happened after their win. The riot, Neil, who his father was, rough details on what had happened. And sooner or later, people would know about their bond. A bond they had kept secret even from their teammates until now. Teammates who hadn't dared throw a word their way once they got back from the FBI, but who had been promised an explanation once everyone was back at Palmetto. People would be able to tell just how strong their bond was because of their matching scars. Which was ironic. Where once Rico had branded Neil with death as a possession, they would have matching scars, marking them as soulmates for all to see. Its own brand of fucked up destiny. Andrew hadn't cared about his looks, besides how he dressed, in a long time, but still felt a momentary sadness at having his face marked like that. Momentary, because as soon as he thought of what that mark meant, he decided to wear it with pride. That scar would let the world know they survived. Would say, come mess with us and see what happens. Worse people have tried to break us. He had used it against a federal agent already. He'd wear that scar like a trophy. You're thinking really loud, Neil joked. Andrew remained quiet. He could tell his idiot wanted to apologize and waited to see what stupid thing he'd say next. Why that one? I mean, why did it only level up? He made air quotes. On that burn. Why not the first cut? Don't get me wrong, I'm not wishing you got all of these. I'm kind of glad it's just that one. And the arms. Andrew held up his hands so Neil could see the scars on his knuckles. And the arms, Neil sighed. Still, I'm... Andrew shrugged. No one knows how this shit works. I know how it works for us. At least I did. Always the big ones for us. Like the time you got shot and I got the first bruise. Andrew cut in, before Neil had a chance to say something else. Yeah, he sighed. Always the big ones for us. But... Clearly getting the tattoo removed like that was something more traumatic than being tortured. We've been there before. We... Christmas. Andrew cut the idiot again. Neil just nodded. Andrew stared blankly at the back of the seat in front of them for a while, and Neil stared out the window. He cataloged their injuries. The bruise left behind by an elbow to their face, the cuts that were bruises on his skin, and the cuts and burns that were scars, where Neil had fresh wounds. What hurt most, definitely hands, he felt it every time Neil moved, the skin pulling the stitches, the burns on their knuckles. What would hurt most at certain moments, showering would be hell. He thought about that sixth sense and how he could test it to see if it was a thing or just in his imagination. Thought about looking up other rare bonds like theirs. Other traumatic ones. Exactly the thing he always avoided doing. He thought about getting through the rest of their lives like this. Feeling every time the other stubbed their toe or cut themselves shaving or got hurt during a game. And then he thought about how he'd deal with that. With the constant feeling of being connected to Neil. And he knew there was only one thing they could do. One thing Neil wouldn't like one bit. We're seeing B as soon as possible. Neil turned to face him so fast Andrew actually felt it. Idiot. Add that to the list of things they'd be dealing with for the rest of their lives. We're not spending the rest of our lives like this without some counseling, Justin. Your arms will ache when I start lifting more. I'll feel every striker that ever hits you. We'll feel each other's fucking paper cuts. For as long as we live. We've been living like this our whole lives, the idiot protested. We don't need a shrink sticking their nose where it doesn't belong. Drake. Evermore. Lola. Neil flinched at that last one. Those are the only big ones we've been this connected for. I've been feeling you. Don't, he gritted out. Don't try to tell me you don't need to talk to someone about all you felt from my end. Needing and wanting are two very different things, Justin. We're seeing B. Together. To talk about how fun it was to find myself screaming my lungs out on the floor from a burn you were getting, and how fun it was for you to kick down that door while also feeling like your body was being ripped in two from the inside. Andrew could see the little hamster running inside his rabbit's head as he thought hard about what he had just said. Andrew had been blunt to really force the thought inside the idiot's head. Idiots should think sometimes. What's it like? The bee thing. Oh, that was almost a yes. Talking. Thinking. She'll comment on something, and then more thinking, followed by more talking. She won't force you into talking about something you don't want to. She'll listen to whatever you want to say and won't judge a thing. Won't tell anyone, as long as we don't confess to murder or shit like that. We, Neil smiled. Was that really all the idiot focused on? Justin, he warned. Neil's stupid smile only grew, and Andrew felt the slight pain from the healing burns and cuts being pulled so tightly. Stop smiling. You're hurting us. Neil didn't stop, so Andrew pinched his own thigh. Hey, that's just childish, Andrew. Andrew shrugged. Is it a yes to be? Neil sighed. It's always a yes with you. Until it isn't. Telling the foxes everything had been draining. He just wanted to sleep. He told the story while Andrew remained a quiet presence next to him. Quiet and grounding and so familiar, something Neil didn't want to go without ever again. Since when have you two known? About your bond, I mean. Dan finally asked, once Neil's entire life story had been told. Andrew, since he hit me back in Millport. I've suspected a few times when Andrew got hurt, but wasn't sure until... He trailed off. Yeah. So he knew from day one and never told you? Allison rolled her eyes. Honestly, Allison, I doubt any of us has the energy right now to try and explain to you why this shit isn't all the sunshine and rainbows you think it is. So while you're welcome to ask any questions, we also have the right to tell you to simply fuck off of our business. Neil saw Andrew turn to look at him then, expression unreadable, but if Neil had to guess, he felt amused. Maybe there was something weird-er about their connection after all. Andrew stood outside the shower for longer than he liked to admit. Neil needed his help. He'd have a really hard time getting washed up with his hands covered up with plastic bags. Andrew wanted and would help him. He just had to decide how comfortable he was about their degrees of nudity. The closest they'd gotten to anything remotely like this moment had been once, when they were alone in the dorm and Andrew jerked Neil off before they left to meet everyone at Abby's. Neil's shirt had ridden up slightly, showing off his abs that Andrew wanted to... No. Not the time. He just pulled his armbands off, and towed off his boots before stepping in behind Neil, still fully clothed. He couldn't even think about being naked around another naked guy. Neil didn't even mention it. Andrew closed the shower curtain and got the water going. He let it warm up before he got started on washing Neil's hair, methodical and detached. It made his fingers ache, just a little, but nothing compared to how it would feel if Neil was the one doing the motions. Kissing came after, once Neil seemed to react so strongly to Andrew's touch, to the soap and the body heat. He pushed Neil against the wall and stopped when a stray spray of water, colder than the rest, found its way inside his t-shirt, down his back, and inside his jeans. Neil actively fucking giggled at that and leaned in to kiss Andrew's neck, sending yet another shiver down his spine. "Your neck fetish is not attractive," he said, barely loud enough to be heard over the water. "You like it. I like it that you like it." Yeah, Andrew did. There was something nice and weirdly untainted about it. No one had ever touched him like that, just Neil. Of course, the idiot had to bite down to make his point, and Andrew bit back a groan. It wasn't painful. It was on that careful edge of pain and pleasure they had just started to figure out they actually liked. Neil was still an idiot, though. And fuck it. Maybe this was the right time to do something Andrew had thought, fantasized, about doing a few times. He placed both hands on Neil's abdomen, feeling the scars and muscles to ground himself before he leaned in and kissed Neil's jawline, close enough to his ear so he could whisper and still be heard. "Yes or no?" "It's always a yes with you," Neil breathed out, sounding strained. "Aroused," Andrew's brain supplied. "It's a yes until it's a no, Neil." "I'll answer it every time you ask, Andrew. But it will always be a yes with you, because I trust you more than anything in the world. It's the truth, and it'll always be the truth." "Don't always me." He saw Neil's lips move, ready to say something probably just as stupid as the last few sentences, but he didn't let him. He covered Neil's mouth with his hand and checked to make sure he still wanted this, then slowly moved down onto his knees until he couldn't keep Neil's mouth covered anymore. He placed a kiss to Neil's hip before taking him whole into his mouth, quick and messy. It took him a second to find a rhythm that worked for both of them, and he wasn't too surprised at just how quickly Neil fell apart, how responsive he was, how his hands made a pathetic attempt at touching Andrew's hair before going to the wall instead, which made them feel a slight ache from trying to keep himself up using his hurt and plastic-covered hands. Andrew kept one hand on Neil's hip, keeping him up as best as he could, while also focusing on the task at hand, focusing on the back and forth of his mouth in time with his right hand, the pressure he was putting on the underside of Neil's cock with his tongue. He was in control. Neil let him be in control. Fucking Neil Jostin. He gave Andrew a warning before he came, but Andrew didn't pull back. Fuck. Andrew was going to spit, but swallowed instead. And surprisingly, he didn't mind. He was almost worried that this would have been too much, that everything was going too smoothly, that he'd pushed himself without noticing, that the lingering taste of Neil's cum in his mouth would send him into a breakdown. But it didn't. His idiot's body was now on the floor with him, both of them out of breath, though Neil was definitely more open about it with noisy little gasps, relaxed and happy. "Do you want..." he started, but Andrew cut him off with a kiss. "No." But Neil had a somewhat valid point there. Andrew was achingly hard. His jeans were wet and tight and rubbing him the wrong way, and he really wanted release. It wouldn't take long, either. But how would he send Neil out into the empty apartment? He still wasn't too into the idea of letting the stupid idiot out of his sight in case he got them killed somehow. He frowned just slightly at the realization that he kind of wanted to do this with Neil's lips on his. "Close your eyes," he croaked. He didn't even check, because he knew Neil would listen. He put space between them and braced himself on the wall behind Neil's head with one shaky hand while his free hand moved to his jeans. He got them open and down just enough to get himself out and began working his hand over his cock quickly and methodically. He kept kissing Neil, trying not to make a noise, but there was only so much he could hold back, so much he could muffle against those soft lips before a stray, strained gasp escaped his lips. Then, eyes still closed and lips still pressed to Andrew's, Neil was fucking whispering to him. "Yes. Yes, Andrew, yes." Andrew wasn't amused. not at the way the words made him feel, and not at the way they seemed to be just what he needed to go over the edge. He went still, chest rising and falling quickly and quietly. He took a second to make sure his arm wouldn't give out before he washed his hand under the spray of water behind them. He helped Neil up and out of the shower, let him get his towel, and got the door for him before locking himself in the bathroom all by himself. He took his t-shirt off, and then his jeans and underwear, and threw the soaking wet clothes in the tub to be dealt with later. He stared at his forearms first, his self-inflicted scars mixed in with the matching ones Neil would have. He examined the colors, the raised skin covered in purple and black, while Neil's was red and pink under the bandages and plastic bags, the fresh scar tissue on his knuckles, the bruises that looked like knife wounds, and then the mess of circular scars on his cheekbone, surrounded by a particularly nasty-looking set of bruises. He hadn't had the time to look at his own end of the deal, but knew they were there, had caught a glimpse a few times, but had been too busy to care. He didn't mind them, not really, but it was still hard to look at. Felt too fresh and looked too old. He took the towel Neil left him, helped him change, and got into a set of clothes Neil offered. Wearing Neil's clothes might just become a habit. Even though they had just gotten back from the longest fucking weekend in history and were leaving for their spring break in a few hours, they carved out some time to see B. Andrew wouldn't give Neil a chance to rabbit out of this. The three had been sitting in silence for what felt like years, but Andrew knew it had only been 7 minutes. 7 minutes of Neil slowly eating his way through his cheek. Then Andrew finally snapped and pinched his own thigh. "Stop pinching us." "Stop biting us," he replied flatly. "Seems like Neil is nervous, Andrew," Bea offered in her usual calm tone. He almost said, "No shit, Sherlock," but she continued before he could. "Neil, this is a safe space. Here you can be yourself and say anything you want without judgment. What either of you say here will stay here. I won't talk about it to anyone else. Andrew won't, and I hope you won't either." Silence, and then, "I won't." She smiled. "Well, I'm glad. I just want to start by reminding you two that you're individuals. With a bond as strong as the one you have, it's important to remember this, that the bond doesn't make you one. So I would like you to close your eyes and focus on your own body for a moment. Not feelings, not sensations, just your breathing. The way the air goes in and out of your lungs." Andrew saw Neil following B's instructions out of the corner of his eyes, and did the same. He couldn't quite ignore the shared feeling, but he could see the purpose of the exercise, as ridiculous as it was. Neil could benefit from it. After a minute, B told them to open their eyes. "So what is it you two want to talk about today?" That was a question Andrew wasn't sure they had an answer to. So he'd leave it up to Neil. "Our bond is weird." "Fucking Jostin." Half the FBI, all of the Foxes, a nurse from Juvie, and countless other people he couldn't be bothered with right now already fucking knew that, B included. "Weird how?" "What's your bond like?" Andrew cut in and asked B. It was a game they were used to. Andrew would talk once he knew exactly what he wanted to talk about, and he figured his idiot could benefit from his little show. To learn from it. To see that B wasn't just here to take. "I'm a level 2, me and my soulmate. He's a banker, lives in Ohio with his wife and 2 beautiful children. We have dinner once a year, but that's all there really is to it. It doesn't affect your life, is what you mean." "We're 7, trauma triggered," Andrew said matter-of-factly, ignoring Neil's comment, as true as it was. "I can't remember ever being as low as a 2. He glanced at Neil, who agreed with a nod. "Maybe when we were very little. We had been at a 6 for years, though. Since juvie. The day I got shot for the first time," Neil added. "First time Andrew had a bruise from my end." "And before that you were a 5? 4, 5, and then 6. That's how numbers work, B." "6 when you got shot," she clarified, ignoring Andrew's comment with way too much fucking grace. "What changed you two from a 4 to a 5? Do you know?" Andrew shrugged. He wasn't sure. "I know 3 to 4 was the iron," he told both B and Neil, but his eyes focused on Neil, who flinched and seemed to think long and hard, for the first time in his life, before opening his mouth. B, of course, gave him all the time he needed. 4 to 5 was Drake, I think. And then Andrew was quiet. Oh. Oh. That made so much sense. So you've known for years what it was, and you never said anything before? Andrew tried to keep his voice level, and it was almost too hard as the anger boiled up inside him. Neil had felt all of it. All of it. And never said anything. To him or anyone. Ever. He felt it the whole time he had been living with the Spears. Andrew, you were the one there. I was only in pain. Andrew was proud at not flinching at the words. So it's no longer a we, he spat. Boys, focus. No one is accusing anyone, B chimed in. Andrew unclenched his fists. You had to feel every cut, every ache, every wound I ever had. I only had to put up with Drake. Because Neil knew there'd been others before. Others he thankfully hadn't felt in full, and hopefully wasn't even aware of what it meant. Neil would be at around 5 that first time, and just that thought made Andrew's stomach turn as the way too vivid image pushed its way into his head. The image of a little Neil, of only 5 years old, a kid who probably at that point already knew what the end of a blade felt like, being put through what Andrew went through on top of his own personal demons, feeling hands and, sounds like you two haven't quite talked about what happened to you before you met and where you stand on it. B's calming tone brought him back before he could let his mind run him into a panic attack. It's something we can talk about during our sessions. Andrew felt his words would be running low very soon, so he stayed quiet and listened to the little hamster running in the little wheel inside his rabbit's head. He had to name that fucking hamster. He could feel the ache in Neil's body from how he was clenching his muscles so hard against the still too fresh wounds. The instinct to run. So much for saving up words. You're not gonna rabbit. Stop fucking clenching your muscles. You know damn well it hurts right now, idiot. He ignored the look B shot him and kept going. You know damn well what happened to us has a name. Whoever the fuck you were then doesn't make it any less real. Stop being a stupid idiot and use your fucking words like a big boy before I cause us even more fucking pain by gutting you. He balled his right hand into a fist yet again and slammed it as hard as he could onto his own thigh, eyes never leaving Neil's face. It was probably a harsh reaction, but he wasn't thinking straight right now. Neil had to listen. If he kept it bottled up and just ignored it, it wouldn't be good. Neil had to listen. Andrew, stop that, B warned. They ignored her for the longest and most painful staring contest of Andrew's life. Neil was pinching his own leg, even though it hurt his hands more, probably because it hurt his hands more. Andrew kept punching his own, a different set of painful sensations that mixed together in their body, eyes never straying each other even as they flinched at the sudden jolts of what felt like needles digging under their skin. Not as painful as everything else going on in their body, but still bothersome. Stop it right now, or I'm going to have to intervene. B's final warning. It's my job to report if you're a danger to yourself or to others, Andrew, B said. Self-injurious behavior. Andrew had heard about the one kid who ever made B use her panic button to call for one of the big male nurses, the kind that made sure you wouldn't break your therapist's neck or bite your own tongue off. So he stopped his fist midair, but didn't look away from Neil. Not about to lose the staring contest. Neil stopped his fingers, but didn't look away either. Then Neil seemed to, wisely, accept defeat. I can't say it yet. He looked away. Not yet, but... Neil swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing up and down. I know what happened to us, Andrew. I know, okay? I'm not pretending it didn't. Andrew felt some tension leave his body. Why had he been so angry at Neil? He knew firsthand how hard it was to admit it, to acknowledge it. It's one of those things you can't force. We went through it, Andrew managed to get out. Just like everything else since your father put that iron to your skin. We were there for each other. As fucked up as that is, we weren't alone. Thank you. Neil nodded. Andrew knew he even heard the words he couldn't say. You got one of yours. Can I get one of mine? Oh, B was probably having a field day with how fucked up this whole session was. They'd be unpacking this one day for years. Andrew nodded. I want you to tell me how you really feel about what happened to us in that car. Neil Jostin, always knowing how to go for the throat. Andrew thought quietly about how he felt about it. Angry, yes. But there was something else behind it. Some other emotions he couldn't name. He looked at Bea for help naming the emotions. She was really good at that. I believe you have the words for this already, Andrew. So he rolled his eyes and thought for a little while longer, for a few minutes, until he found the words that were the best match. Angry. Really angry. At your mother, at your father, and Lola, and the others. They were cowards, every single one of them. But I can sleep at night and dream of the gaping bullet hole in your father's head, so I can deal with what happened to us in that car. I can deal with the fact that I did not want the pain to stop if I couldn't see you. He could see Neil nodding as he began to understand, a little of his guilt even dissipating. Andrew had craved pain to avoid death, because if Neil died, Andrew would too. I couldn't think of you then. I had to be Nathaniel to get through it. I wouldn't let Nathaniel think of you, Neil confessed. Andrew was impressed and ready for the moment his idiot shut down. This had been a big first session. They were barely halfway through it, and Andrew already felt more than ready to shut down and reboot. Neil was almost whispering, and for a moment, their pain seemed to lessen. Neil relaxed. Thank you for letting me be Neil again. And Andrew didn't need anything else to know what he meant by it. B was probably a little lost. Or not, she was smart. But Andrew understood what he meant, even without being able to put it into words. It was the same thing Andrew felt, maybe slightly different. Neil only existed because he had Andrew there. Neil was alive because Andrew had been at the other end of their connection the whole time. Neil would die without Andrew, just like Andrew would die without Neil, as problematic and fucked up as that sounded. They were problematic and fucked up. Their bond was problematic and fucked up. Of course their thoughts were, too. And those were only the ones deemed safe enough to be spoken aloud. Good thing Nathaniel is fucking dead, then. Andrew nodded once and turned to look out the window. Anything else you'd like to talk about, Neil? And of course, the idiot started talking about stickball. Neil would never admit to the fact that he didn't completely hate therapy out loud. Never. He wasn't looking forward to their twice-monthly sessions, not when he knew it wasn't about talking. If it were, they'd just do it on the roof. It was about pouring antiseptic on a fresh wound to make sure it wouldn't fester and get infected. He figured if he could handle sewing himself up with nothing but whiskey in his system, he could handle this. If anyone had asked, Andrew would never admit that he regretted even for a moment suggesting their trip. Because he didn't. Didn't regret, and didn't regret making sure it happened. But the drive up hadn't been fun. The road up not the friendliest on the Maserati, which in turn wasn't the friendliest on their wounds. It helped that Neil was on some good painkillers, but he couldn't help but clench his teeth every time a particular bump sent a shiver up their arms. But the place was quaint, and Neil seemed happy, so in the end, what even mattered? Walking into their room had been a surprise. It was the only one downstairs, but Andrew hadn't expected it to only have one bed. And judging by the reaction, neither did Neil. Hmm, the idiot said, in that little way idiots do. The previous night had been the first time they slept together, and they had been surrounded by the other foxes. This, though, almost screamed danger. Almost. I sleep against the wall, Andrew said casually, and walked further into the room to start moving furniture around. Neil relaxed at that. The idiot. Neil watched Andrew move around the kitchen, his heart beating just a little too fast in his chest. He felt bad for the state he put Andrew in, yet he couldn't help but feel proud of him. Proud of the guy he was bonded to, of how strong and resilient he was. Even if their nothing ended up nowhere, even if they didn't work out, Neil wouldn't mind spending the rest of his life sharing all that he shared with Andrew. Staring, junkie, Andrew murmured, with a slight furrow to his brows as he focused on cleaning the blenders, the angle just odd enough to bother their hands. Neil felt it like tiny shocks running up their arms, but didn't complain. Once he was done, he poured them each a glass of whiskey and held up his own with one slightly shaky hand. "I don't drink," Neil reminded him. "I'd think even you would be craving a drink after the weekend we had," Andrew deadpanned. Neil glanced down at his glass and picked it up carefully, the shaking in Andrew's hand mirrored by his own. He raised it just slightly to make Andrew realize he was proposing a toast and watched the blonde do the same before they knocked their glasses back in near-perfect sync. "What were we toasting?" "Being alive," Neil shrugged. Andrew didn't react, or maybe handing his cigarettes and lighter to Neil had been his way of reacting. He stepped outside, far enough from the tub that the others wouldn't have to smell the smoke, and closed his eyes once the stick was lit. The taste in his mouth and the smell of the smoke reminded him of that day when Andrew gave him the keys to their house in Columbia. When Andrew gave Neil a home, a real house with a roof and a door that locked where no one would find him, where he didn't have to hide. Maybe it was the whiskey mixed in with the painkillers, maybe it was the warmth that seemed to always come off Andrew, or maybe it was the feeling of not having secrets anymore. But Neil felt happy. Andrew did not appreciate the way he practically curled in on himself at the sudden burst of pain that shot up his right arm, making him lose his grip on the glass he was holding and spill it all over the floor. The foxes all suddenly went quiet, and he was sure his face betrayed him more than he was comfortable with. What the fuck was Neil doing now? He pushed off the couch and quickly made his way to the kitchen, where he thought Neil would be getting some water. He was not pleased to see his clone crouched by Neil, expression taunting. "What's this about?" Both of them looked up, and Andrew saw the slight smudge of blood at the corner of his brother's mouth. When no one answered, he let out a sigh and stood by the door, effectively blocking their way back inside. "You know what I do to people who touch Aaron, Justin." And he meant it. Self-preservation be damned. Neil shook his head, standing up straight. "Trust me, I had a reason." Andrew flexed his right hand, as if it would do anything to alleviate the lingering feeling from the punch. "You won't even ask me directly what I did to get him all riled up?" Aaron scoffed. "You're unbelievable, Andrew." Then, while Andrew was distracted by telling himself that Aaron hadn't provoked Justin just so that Andrew would talk to him, Neil walked right past him and went back inside. "What did you do?" His eyes narrowed and he took a step closer. To his surprise, Aaron laughed, bitter and petty and almost childish, a sound he couldn't remember ever hearing from his brother. "I just asked him a question." Sarcasm. "Go ask your soulmate what exactly." "I'm asking my womb mate." His voice remained steady while his blood began to boil. Aaron was clearly drunk, and Neil and Andrew had had a few drinks themselves. They definitely weren't in a state to have any kind of remotely mature conversation, but he couldn't care less right now. "Just wanted to see if he thinks you owe him anything because you're soulmates," he sneered. "Or if he's just that sick." He was about to ask what the fuck that was supposed to mean when it clicked. It fucking clicked. "Don't make the mistake of thinking I need your protection," Andrew snarled, his fists clenched tightly. "You don't? Really, Andrew? Cut the crap. If you don't need my protection, then why the fuck am I being tried for murder while you're letting fucking Justin into your bed, huh?" And at that, they were on the floor, trading kicks and blows that hurt Andrew much more than he'd ever admit, his already bruised knuckles splitting when he missed a punch and hit the deck. By the time Neil made it outside with all the other drunken foxes in tow, Andrew was straddling Aaron with one hand in his hair and the other holding a knife to his throat. It'd be so easy. "Andrew," Neil called his name, grounding him. He leaned down, close enough to his brother's ear that he could hiss the next words and not be overheard. "Do not make the mistake of thinking Neil wouldn't have done what you did. An automatic response does not a killer make. Say this kind of shit again, and I'll show you what makes a killer." He let go of Aaron's head and stood up as he put his knife away. "Andrew!" Nikki sounded horrified. Andrew didn't care. He needed antiseptic, something to wrap his hands with, and painkillers. Fuck, he was in no state or mood for this kind of bullshit. Neil, he called, as he made his way inside, no one daring to stand in his way. See you in therapy, Aaron. Neil locked the bedroom door behind them and let Andrew take out the first aid kit so he could tend to his hand, both of them in complete silence. Aaron's words were still echoing in his head, making him almost want to throw up. Are you really fucking my brother? Do you really take your cues from dead men? How'd you go from your whole I don't swing high horse to Andrew's bed? Did you lie to everyone to hide how twisted and like your father you truly are? Was it after you saw Drake rape Andrew that you realized he's easy prey? Or was it before, when Andrew was a kid and you could only feel it? You pull that shit again, Andrew snapped Neil out of his thoughts. He stared at Andrew's hand on the bed between them and reached for some gauze and antiseptic, then cut whatever Andrew was about to say. Yes or no? You pull... Yes or no? He cut in again. Yes, Andrew huffed. I pull that shit again, and you'll stab me and hide the body. You don't have to tell me twice. I'll even show you where to stab me so it'll hurt less for you. Now hold still. He dabbed the split scar tissue with antiseptic, carefully checking for any stray splinters before he kept going. Did he tell you what he told me? Andrew shook his head, eyes fixed on their hands, jaw set so tight it hurt. Neil managed to ignore their pain to get through the two familiar motions of tending to a wound, but clearly Andrew was still too riled up. He implied, he gritted out, and reached for the Advil, then swallowed too dry. No splinters, at least. Neil threw away the used gauze and reached for the wrap, then began carefully wrapping Andrew's hands. Andrew sighed, shoulders slumped with exhaustion. Neil could understand that. Between everything that happened today, it felt like their shower this morning had happened at least a couple of days ago, and not only hours. Our shower this morning feels like days ago. He yawned and put the first aid kit away. If you say you want one, it better be a fucking sponge bath. Andrew kicked his boots off, not minding where it landed, and reached under his pillow for his sleep clothes. Neil turned his back to him to give him some privacy and let him help with his own clothes. They were matching. He noticed the way his heart skipped a beat at the realization, in sweatpants that belonged to the other and plain black long-sleeve t-shirts. There was a long moment where they just stood there, studying each other's faces. Neil felt the almost overwhelming need to save it to his memory, burn it into his eyelids to make sure that Andrew's face was the only thing he ever saw when he closed his eyes. Because there hadn't been any nightmares last night, probably because of exhaustion, but he doubted he'd be that lucky two nights in a row. This isn't because we're soulmates. Neil just had to say. There's no this, Andrew echoed a past conversation. This is nothing. Our nothing isn't because we're soulmates, Neil insisted. Because Andrew had to hear this from him. We don't owe each other anything. Yes or no? Yes. And this kiss was quick and soft, their lips sore from a punch Andrew had taken from Aaron, any touch extra light and careful. This was unlike any other kiss they had, even after everything. It wasn't desperate or heated, and didn't leave Neil wanting more. This kiss solidified their nothing somehow. Andrew was the first to get into bed. Neil got the lights and followed after him, settling on his back. There was an unspoken agreement to keep their distance, to not touch, and Neil was more than okay with that. Good night, Andrew. Just fucking sleep, junkie. Do you really believe it's a soul thing? Neil asked, once they were alone on the roof. He watched as his soulmate turned to look at him, face blank, but eyes clearly calling Neil an idiot and asking him to elaborate. The bond. Do you believe in souls? Andrew shrugged. I call bullshit. Gotta have something to do with genetics. Chemical signals. I don't know, but I doubt it's as magical and mystical as people make it up to be. They were quiet for a while, until Andrew broke the silence. There's nothing special about us. There's nothing special about this. It's all bullshit. The only ones who enjoy this shit are the ones who don't have to feel it like we do. Most people don't actually get kidnapped and tortured, Neil pointed out. I can see why some people like the bond. Hold on to it. it is all bullshit. Anyone listening in wouldn't understand what Andrew meant, but Neil knew better than to take his words at face value. It is bullshit. It's inconvenient and unpredictable, but they wouldn't have it any other way. Neil saw him reaching up to touch their scar, the scar they had gotten in that car together, the one that was never anything but pain and scar tissue for Andrew. Their scar. The one that in a day would let the whole world know what they were to each other. Ichiro would be able to use it against Neil. Anyone would be able to use it against them. But it was theirs. All theirs. And Neil actually loved the sight of it.